This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
With 9 games left to go, there's a big question on everybody's lips. Are Mansfield Town doing a Mansfield? Defeat at Tranmere Rovers on Tuesday night leaves us pondering the big question. As the end becomes more and more clearer in sight, are we starting to wobble at the wrong time? Especially when you consider that the 3-2 victory over Swindon was far from easy at the weekend, and the Stags have now shipped 6 goals in their last 3 games. Somehow, though, thanks to other results and results elsewhere, Mansfield remain top as we start this episode. That might not be the case, though, come the end of it, with Salford taking on Stockport. More on that throughout the show. But with 9 games left to go, can we keep our heads? Can we stop ourselves from panicking? Can we stop ourselves from doing a Mansfield, and can we get over the line at long last after what's been a phenomenal season so far? As always, come and join the discussion and have your say on your team in the comments. This is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Hello, good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Thanks, as always, for joining us on this week's show. Plenty to talk about, and no doubt it will be one of interesting debate as, with 9 games to go, the Stags still remains top of Sky Bet League 2. But as we said there in the intro, there is questions over whether or not Mansfield are starting to do a Mansfield, having the slump at the wrong time, and starting to worry and panic. Joining me to discuss all of that, two Stags fans that have been there, done it, seen it, and discussed it all over the years in various ways. Let's start with the man who's seen numerous promotions and relegations and who is still hoping that George Maris pops up and scores a goal in the final 5 home games so he can say, goal scorer for the Stags. So he can say, let me do it properly, so he can say, goal scorer for the Stags, Mansfield Town's number 10, Giorgio Mauricio. It's Alan Wilson. Good evening, Al.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
Hope you're well, my friend. I hope you're feeling better as well, especially after you were given a bit of food poisoning, maybe, by the Stags on Monday. We don't want to put the two and two together. We'll talk more about that later on. And let's say hello and good evening to the man who, over the last 7 seasons, has taken a lot of flack for watching Hollyoaks and various other things during our journey. But he's always been there. And at this time of the season, we always end up having the same conversation. Are Mansfield Town doing a Mansfield? It looks like we're here again, Cam.
I'd like to think not. But same again, me and you specifically, along with Nathan and various other guests throughout the years, we've been in this position before on this very podcast.
Yeah, it's got a very familiar feel to it and very familiar discussion. I don't know whether it's just a general Mansfield Town thing, Al, that we get ourselves into such a position. It's like somebody was moaning at me actually the other week because everyone was singing, you know, we are top of the league and all of that, and the Stags are going up. And I went, I'm not singing it because it still might fall apart. You're so bloody pessimistic. You're so negative. Yeah, well, now who's worrying?
Have faith. Have faith, mate. It will happen.
We hope.
Everybody gets a wobble now and then, but come like the few people saying on Stagnet, if we go a draw at Tranmere and a draw at Bradford, that's 2 points. If we beat Bradford, it's 3 points. Extra point, enough said.
You know, I agree with it to an extent, and I agree with what Damien has already said in the comments, Cam. You know, we were bound to lose a few. We're not invincibles. But it's just about the timing of losing the few, isn't it? When I don't think you can argue that we're in good form at the minute. All right, we've ground out some results, but if you look at our last sort of six games, beaten away at Tranmere 2-1, we squeezed past Swindon. That's not to beat about in the bush with that 3-2. MK Dons lost 2-1 at home, so we've shipped 6 goals in the last 3 games. We beat Newport 1-0. Salford, all right, that's a bit of an anomaly with the 5-1 win, and then we lose 2-1. At Walsall. So our last 6 games, I think you can argue that Salford result aside, I don't think we're in the greatest form, which is a little bit of concern with 9 to go.
Very true, but same again, you think of it this way, if we did this exact same form between now and the end of the season, we're up as possible champions. Definitely automatics. Go the rest of the season, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, we'll be up. Which is an awful way to think. But like we said, we're not gonna go throughout this. What's that? Our fifth loss of the season, fourth loss of the season, fifth, sixth loss.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost more than that the season we won the conference, and we'd got 95 points that season. So I think we have just got to take it game by game, and we've got to remember, we've 9 games left. We're on 69 points. You probably only need 8 more points, 9 more points to get automatics. It'd be very tight, but it's not out of the question. It's still doable, but Mansfield cannot do a Mansfield. Simple as.
My concern is not the winning one, losing one, because I'm in agreement that if we did continue that vein until the end of the campaign, then we would go up as automatics. My concern, Alan, is more about the teams that we face in there, because every team now, between now and the end of the season, has got something to play for. You know, Bradford, 12th, they were 12th before Tuesday. I've not looked at the table since, but you know, they're in and around the playoffs. If they get victory against us on Saturday, that will put them right in a bit of momentum to try and chase that down. Then you go to the other end of the table with our next fixture, Colchester, of course, who were just above the bottom two. Wrexham, they've dropped into the bottom two, have they?
Because Bradford lost to Forest Green on Tuesday night. Colchester have dropped in. So they've got 2 games in hand. But those 2 games in hand, one's against Stockport and one's against Knox County, I think.
So you look at that and you think, well, they've dropped into the bottom two, so now they're going to be fighting even more. You've got Wrexham, who, you know, are in and around us, and if they get victory over us, that'll be a massive boost for them. We know what comes with them with their support and when everything around that. Accrington's probably the only one that you can say is a bit of an anomaly but they'll be playing for contracts and futures now that they've changed the manager. Crawley, again, mid-table. Playoffs aren't mathematically out of sight for them. Forest Green, relegation battle. MK Dons would love a bounce back in the automatic promotion slots, and they'd love nothing more to be able to do that against us like they did on their turf on the final day of the season last time they got out of this division. Gillingham hunting the playoffs, and Barrow hunting the playoffs, and Barrow, and neither of those two sides with results, you know, out of the running for automatic promotion. So what I'm saying, Alan, is whilst I agree with this whole win one, lose one scenario and that it would keep us in that mix, the games that we've got, realistically, we can't afford to be losing games, because we need to be either gaining ground on those opponents or making sure that they don't take anything off us in the process.
I agree 100% with what you're saying to a degree, but it's what Mansfield Town do that bothers me. If Mansfield Town come out as Mansfield Town, we know we've got, we're a match for anybody. It's just that we've got to get our act together. Okay, last few games, we haven't looked as solid as we normally do, but it's bound to happen. It was going to happen somewhere along the line, but who's to say that we're not going to win the next nine? You know, it's just, it's a funny old game, isn't it? You know, League Two, we can be up, we can be down. It's just what Mansfield Town do that interests me. I'm not bothered about Colchester. I'm not bothered about Wrexham. It's Mansfield Town. And if they play anything like, we'll be there.
Well, if they play anything like they've played in the last three games, I don't think we will be there. If I'm going to be honest, I don't think we've performed very well. I think we've been poor. I think the goals we've conceded are a bit of a concern. And for me, Cam, to go from this defence who has been rock solid all season long, and you know we've been praising them and really, really getting behind them and keeping clean sheets and being hard to concede against, we're becoming more and more easy to concede against. We're not closing down quickly enough. We're not pressing enough. We're standing off a little bit more. We're allowing teams to get pot shots off. All right, you know, you can argue that the second Tranmere goal took a deflection and Christy Pym might have got there if it didn't take a deflection. But why aren't we closing that down? Why aren't we reacting quicker? Look at the way in which they scored the first goal from a throw-in. We don't react to it. And that's becoming a concern, that our defence and our defensive play, not just the back four itself, is becoming lackadaisical and a little bit complacent.
It is. I think we are well within our rights to be concerned, because at this stage of the season and the season that we've had, you'd like to think that we are, considering we are top of the league, 3 points clear, we'd be a bit more comfortable and confident. And we're not. And we get that. Everyone's to have a wobble. Everyone's going to have a wobble. And to be honest, when we have had a wobble, we've come out the other side of it very well. We had a wobble when we played Crewe, and then obviously we then lost to Wimbledon. But then we responded by beating County, battering Harrogate, battering Salford. And I don't, like we keep saying, we've been saying this all season, there's going to be a team that will take a battering. And it's happened in consistent games where we've had to respond to a result. And I'm not saying that Bradford on Saturday is going to be easy pickings, but my God, we've got to pull out a result and score a few. Because as much as that goal difference is big now, Stockport have got two in hand on us. All right, they're playing one tonight. So firstly, let's hope Salford do us a favour. But secondly, nine goals isn't much over nine games. A nine-goal swing. You think back to 2 years ago on the final day, and that took a seven-goal swing for that to happen. All right, they played Scunthorpe, Bristol Rovers, but they, like Keely said in the comments, they've been knackered and they just need to get a head back in the game and focus one game at a time, keep the faith. We do need to keep the faith. And yeah, you can just see that players are knackered. And Nigel on Tuesday, for example, just made the wrong subs at the wrong time. Boateng is back to the Boateng that we all know and hate for now. And we know that in two games' time, he'll probably pull out an absolute worldie. That just seems to be his thing. But there's one word that always springs to mind with Mansfield: frustration. We all feel it, and it always comes around at this time of the season. And we felt it for the last two seasons.
I've had it in my calendar for the last 6 months. 14th of March podcast, negative. Exact words in my calendar. No, well, only joking.
Brighten it up a bit then.
Well, I can't, because we've been so poor. I have to say that one of the things which one of the comments which has come in from Simon is something I was going to talk about later, but we might as well talk about it now. He says, always easier to chase than to be chased. We have the experience to get us over the line. Flint, Quinn, Akins, etc. It's in our hands. I agree with that. I'm going to make a bit of a controversial statement. I think going top of the league, as enjoyable as it has been and as a nice of an achievement it is, it puts you well and truly in the firing line of the snipers, and Mansfield Town and Mansfield Town supporters, 99% of us, other than the complete positive beings that are Alan Wilson's, the Alan Wilson's of this world, cannot handle that firing line, Alan. And I think going top has been the thing which has tripped us up a little bit. We've got nowhere left to aim for, and all of a sudden we're looking at across the top of the mountain and we're not seeing the massive pothole in front of us.
When we sit on that SSA couch on Saturday and go to the match and watch the match, I think at 10 to 5 or whenever it finishes, you know, with the time added on, we'll be quite happy as we're coming home. I don't think you should panic.
We may well be quite happy, Alan, because that's all we're all going to be in your company. But we might not have won the game. Let's be honest.
Don't panic, Mr. Mannering.
We'll talk more about the importance of Bradford later on, but let's go back to those last couple of games. Swindon first. The important thing, Cam, is that we won the game. It doesn't matter how you're winning games now at this time of the season, but when you play in a side like that, and Tranmere to a degree as well, that have got very little to play for, you know you're going to get that. But what you cannot do is take your foot off the gas and give them that little bit of time and space. Some parts of our game felt like we'd already won it without kicking a ball, and we need to regain our focus on that, because we shouldn't be winning games 3-2. We should be winning games 1-0.
We should. A few things I took out to that Swindon game. Firstly, Hiram, what the was that? We should have scored 30 seconds before Akins did. Mr. Akins, what was that? How did you hit the post from there? And secondly, or thirdly, is, well, stop being Mansfield. We're very good at this season. We're very good at taking setbacks and then using it as ammunition to fire us on. And Saturday was a perfect example of that. We conceded a poor goal, and Mr. Keeler done, what was it, a minute, 30 seconds later? We use that and we go upfield and we score and we get back in the game. All right, we then go and concede another soft goal. But the first one was purely, it was a bit of a fluke. The finish was good, but the way that the ball came back to it, it just could not get it clear. And the bounce every time, every second ball was going to them. And this has been the story of our game for the last three or four matches, where we've not played to the extent that we know that we're able to. But we know that we've not 100% had the run of the green when the ball's bounced. Every second ball has gone to them. Every deflection's gone in the favour of opposition. Even games that we've won, we've not been comfortable because we've just had little things go against us and it's got under our skin. But we've dealt with it in some games and not in others. So it's not even a case of necessarily not performing, because we're still scoring goals and we're still scoring good goals. Swanee's Tuesday night, it's fantastic. Keeler Dunn's on Saturday was brilliant. And it's frustrating that we're putting ourselves in this position again when, like Nigel said, it don't matter how we perform. It's all about the results now. And I agree. But obviously, it's still frustrating when we know that Saturday could have been so much more comfortable.
Yeah, it is about the results. But like you say, that having that little bit of comfort is really, really key. My worry is that, you know, we have got away with it for the last couple of games, but there will come a time where we don't get away with it, where other teams do get the results and we don't, and we have to be prepared for that. It's all well and good having this superior goal difference, but like Cam said, Alan, there's that thing of nine goal swing actually isn't that much of a difference, considering what's happened in the past and what can happen in the moment of a game. We've seen some crazy games this year already in Skybet League 2. But also at the same time, it feels like we focused on building a superior goal difference, and what we need to now focus on is building the superior points difference and putting space between ourselves and themselves, because we don't want to talk about it too much, but the horrible thing of this whole situation is, and this is really the underlying thing of what my concern is, Alan, it's if we fall from the top, which is I'm fine with, by the way. I've got, like I said, for weeks and months on this podcast, I've got no care about winning the league title. That's the cherry on top of the cake. But what I do care about is the top three. But if we fall now and tumble and tumble and tumble, the gap between fourth and the playoffs and third is not actually that much. And if we tumble into the playoffs, like Nathan said in our group chat a few days ago, we might as well say, have a sign up in the dressing room which says, this is League Two, you're here forever.
Nah, I'm sorry, I don't agree. I don't agree with that sentiment. I think Nigel will distill it into him. It's the defence, to be fair, it's the defence that's looked a bit ropey over the last few games, obviously letting the six goals in. But smarten that up, which I'm sure it will on Saturday, and then obviously that begins, you know, if you don't let any in, you're only going to draw the match. And we've got plenty of firepower from all over the pitch to make sure we get a goal. So I can understand what your concerns, and I can understand what you're saying, you know, if you drop in and it starts getting a bit squeaky bum time. But like I said, 9 games, it's in our hands. Like Stockport might have 2 games in hand, but they've got to win them. Points on the board we've got. We've been chasing in other years, and we don't particularly chase well. You know, when we've had games in hand, you know, we've struggled. But we've got the points on the board this year, and I think that'll be a massive difference, personally.
Paul's asked in the comments, should Nigel Clough keep chopping and changing the team at this stage of the season? Now, there's two parts of that. There's another question which springs from it, I think, and that is the back four. I understand why over the last 4 games he has chopped and changed, because we've been Saturday, Tuesday. And when you throw in trips to Tranmere and Newport in there within that four, they are long distance trips. They're not the easiest of trips either to make. It's a lot of time on a bus and cramping up and all of that sort of stuff as well. But the back four within that as well have started conceding some sloppy goals. And I think now, with 9 to go, wherever possible, we should try and keep that little bit of momentum, try and keep the same 11 as much as we can, but in particular, keep the same back four. And my question, and it's a catch-22 for me, Cam, is who do you pair at centre-back with Aidan Flint? Because Lewis Brunt has been phenomenal for me over the last few games or so. He's certainly deserved his Man of the Match awards when he's got them. Bailey Cargill's a quality addition to have in there, but he does sometimes struggle at left back. He had a tremendous game against Newport in setting the goal up. I felt he played all right on Tuesday at Tranmere, but at home to Swindon, I don't think he got as much as the rub of the green. George Williams does make a difference at right back. I do like Jordan Bowery in there as well. You've got Stephen McLaughlin, who's obviously got the experience that he's gotten at this stage of the season. You'd probably think you'd like to see him in there as well. What do you do? Do you stick with the same back four, or do you go chopping and changing? And if you do go with the same back four, if you were Nigel Clough right now and you were writing out that back four in your head, what would it be?
I'd keep it as Cargill, Brunt, Flint, Williams. On the basis of, you know that Williams can put in a shift for 90 minutes. But you know that Jordan Bowery's got the pace to bring on towards the end of games that you need. And I think had the substitutions on Tuesday night been at a better time, we could have got something from that game. It felt like if we'd have brought Davis and Quinny on earlier on, then I think we could have got something, but just not going forward enough was our problem Tuesday night. And George Williams, when he's put in the right positions, he can deliver a cracking ball in. We know that. We know that Jordan Bowery's got the pace. We know that Stephen Quinn can put in a good cross. And we're getting these opportunities and not taking them. But same again, you've also got to look at the defence and say, right, we started leaking a few goals, but you'd have thought for the size of the players that we've got, we'd score a few more from set pieces. And we've not. And goals aren't drying up, which is a very big positive, because the last thing you want to be doing is not winning games but not scoring goals. So there's negatives, but I'd say there's more positives than negatives. And I think we'll be able to turn it around on Saturday. But it's just, we can't keep chopping and changing for the sake of chopping and changing. If players are a little bit tired, fine, play them, but don't play them 65 minutes, 70 minutes. Don't play them 90. Don't insist on playing a set formation, because we've been guilty of this in the past where Nigel's just not had a plan B.
Yeah.
And then we've struggled to adapt. So it is frustrating, because we're still creating chances, we're still scoring goals, but we're not just quite defensively there. And is it a case of we're going too attack-minded? I'm not sure. I'm kind of on the fence on that one.
See, I agree a little bit with that, because Nigel Clough has got this bee in his bonnet since the end of last season, and he references it almost every interview. We lost out by one goal last year on goal difference. We need to score goals. So there is that attack-minded thing in there. And I do think sometimes that's at the detriment of our defensive play. But when you've got players like Aidan Flint in there, you know, you can sort of rely on him as well. The biggest blow to our season would be if he were to have a reoccurrence of that injury. We've got the players to deal with it, but I think it, just like in terms of the psychological and leadership impact it would have on us, would be too huge at this stage of the season with 9 games to go. Alan, what about your back four? Cam has said stick with the same that's been playing, the Williams, Flint, Brunt and Cargill. What about you? What are you going with if you're Nigel Clough?
Quite happy with that, but as soon as Callum Johnson's up and running, which I don't think will be too far, I would give him a start as well.
Because what about Hewitt?
Pardon?
What about Mr. Hewitt? He's obviously, you know, you don't want to rush him back like we said last week, but he travelled with the squad on Tuesday.
Yeah, he'd be all right on the bench as and when needed, you know, like a bit part player, if you like. I don't think he's not ready for that sort of thing yet, where Callum Johnson's been there and done. I know Elliot's been there and done it, but I don't know. It's just, it's keep the defence. It's that early goal, isn't it? What I keep referring to. And I noticed that I didn't see or hear the game on Tuesday through other circumstances. But if Ollie was playing, and I do believe if he's fit, Ollie will play Saturday and he will make a difference. I really do believe that. I think Ollie will make a difference if he's fit. But, you know, just leave the back four as they are. I'm like yourself, either Williams or Bowery. I don't mind which. But when Callum Johnson's fit, and, you know, looking fit and able, I would slot him in, because I think he's sometimes just that slightly better prospect.
Yeah. Mark in the comments has said Bowery, Cargill, Flint, Brunt, Quinn. I think he's suggesting a change of formation there, Mark, and going with a back five. Please, God, no. Stick with back four.
No wing backs.
No. I don't mind it in the last 10 minutes when you're trying to push maybe for a winner like we were on Tuesday a little bit, but no, I wouldn't want to see us start with wing-backs. No, I don't think we've quite got the players at the minute for it anyway. But yeah, I think for me, the only alternation for me, I think it should be the left-back spot rather than the right-back spot. I think,
and
I think one thing we need to potentially look to do, and this might be a little bit controversial, but it's not something which has been mentioned tonight on the pod so far. And I'm not saying take Lewis Brunt out of the side. I'm saying we need to start to shore things up a little bit defensively. Why not stick Lewis Brunt back in midfield in front of that back four? And so we go with the back four of Williams, Flint, Cargill, McLaughlin, with Brunt sat in front of that back four, which then allows McLaughlin to go forward a little bit, Cargill to sit and cover. I don't know. I just, and
The only thing with that is
decisions.
Who do you drop in the midfield?
Aaron Lewis. Don't put Hiram Boateng anywhere near an 18.
Hiram Boateng can come sit with me in Rawmarsh every bloody week.
And personally, I'd agree with what Marie's just said with that. I didn't think Brunt was as influential in front of the back four. I think he had a couple of good games, but then he seemed to drop off a little bit. I would prefer to see Reed there, and I would like Maris and Ollie Clark at the side of him, with DKD in his proper place and Akins and Swan up front.
Yeah, what did you make of the Nichols experiment on Tuesday, Cam? Because it was almost like Clough wanted to play with a 4-3-3 and try and play with a more attacking forward line. But in the end, Nichols ended up playing in the 10, where DKD usually plays.
It did, but I think that's a case of it didn't work. Not necessarily that it didn't work. Tranmere have done a job on us there. If we're totally honest, they knew how to deal with us. And we don't have a brilliant record at Tranmere. We won last season, but we don't have a brilliant record there. Same with Newport. We beat them this season, but we don't have a brilliant record against them. And you just know the type of football that they play. They don't change how they play. It's always the same kind of football. And I think we're a bit... We're frustrating to watch because you know that the creativity is there and we just can't execute it all the time. You look at Swan's goal, unreal. What a pass from Lewis Reed.
Yeah.
And the presence of mind and the attacking instinct from Swan to firstly time his run and then to finish it was superb. And we can see that they've tried that a couple of times this season and Swan has been offside about a million times, as has Tom Nichols in the last two, three months since he joined. But you know that it's there, but we did it once and we scored from it and then we just couldn't get any time on the ball in the midfield. And that's something that I've noticed over the course of the season is that when we don't have a good sort of like spell in the game where we can create something in the midfield, we end up losing games because teams just end up doing a job on us, sit in front of our sit 7-8 men behind the ball, don't let us play, and then we just fall guilty of not creating anything.
Yeah, I agree. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Plenty more to talk about tonight. Ashley says, I'd love Nichols and Swan to form a partnership. I like both players, but seem a bit lightweight for me in that sense. But that's just my opinion. And just on that as well, obviously, James Gale's making a little bit of a comeback. He's been on the bench for a few of the last couple of games. He was on the bench on Tuesday. I think we were actually talking in the group chat, Cam, on Tuesday about substitutions we'd make. And I actually felt, again, that it was his type of game. We lacked someone to really run, to get physical, to close the ball down, to keep them penned in. And when you think that, you know, he is a young player, eager to get a contract for the future, I would have 100% liked to have seen him come on, because I think he would have had that little bit of fire, which we so clearly lacked, Cam, on Tuesday night. Put it this way, I'd rather have seen him than Boateng. Sorry, Hiram.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, the other way, I'd have preferred to see DKD instead of Boateng.
Yeah.
For me, DKD has to start every game between now and the end of the season, regardless if it's home or away. He is our top goal scorer. He's not our top goal scorer for no reason. He scores our goals. All right, we've got players that chip in. But you don't get to nearly 20 goals a season to then be sat on the bench. Yeah. It's simply not good enough, personally.
I get resting him. I get trying to sort of like keep him fresh and fit. But with 10 games to go, you know, on Tuesday, 9 now, your top scorer, you know, 18 goals, 12 assists. what are you doing sitting him on the bench? That's like having him. That's like having millions and millions and millions in the bank and still using the food bank. It's wrong. It's wrong. Anyway, I've got to do this.
Attention, please. Your attention, please. The gate is now open for comments. The gate is now open. Thank you.
The gate did comment and say, get the bell, but you've not said words like. Cam, come on.
Toxicity.
Alan.
Yeah. I've gone to last now. I'm trying to think. Solidity.
Oh, so close. Come on, Cam, rescue him.
Solidify.
And what's the final one? What do we need to be in these final nine games? Let's all channel our inner Flitcroft and say the words.
Galvanize.
There you go. There's the bell for you, the gate. It is always there. We'll Martin says, I'm hoping we can play some football despite the look of Bradford's pitch. Hope that doesn't have an impact on our game on or style of play on Saturday. Simon says, agree, we do find it difficult to break down teams that are sitting back a little bit. Martin also says, come on, Salford, that's just kicked off. But believe that one. Hopefully Salford can do them. Cam's watching it. Yeah, get it off of YouTube quick before we get kicked off for copyright infringement. Thank you. People disagree with my Lewis Brunt suggestion, right? I'm not saying that you're all wrong, but you're all wrong. No, the last time I had a good suggestion about putting someone good in midfield was Kieran Wallace, and we're all missing Kieran Wallace. So,
no,
you know, let's get Brunt in midfield.
No, we're not.
Simon says,
think there's only you missing Wallace, Craig, to be fair.
Listen, him and Paul Digby would be a great partnership. I don't know what you're talking about. Leaving out the creativity, says Simon, of Quinn and DKD on Tuesday with a lack of clock muscle in midfield was our downfall, as opposed to our defence being weak. Yeah, I can go along with that.
Andy
wasn't fit. Was left out of the 18. Andy says, 5 wins needed from 9 games. 5 home games versus Accrington, Forest Green, Colchester, Gillingham and Crawley. Don't panic. Absolutely. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. Plenty more to talk about here on the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, and we'll be right back after these.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now, is this season one that you're looking to put to the back of your minds? One which you can't wait to be over because you can't quite handle the stress? Well, how about stepping back in time and hearing some stag stories from a classic era? Ian Bowling joins us for Stag Stories Live on Sunday the 28th of April, 6 p.m. at Mansfield Museum as part of their Beautiful Game exhibition. Tickets are on sale now for just £4.50 per person. You can get your ticket from the link in the description and come and join us for what will be a phenomenal night of Stag Stories and memories from yesteryear as we look back on his footballing career and his time at Mansfield, which of course included that infamous handshake with a man wearing nothing but a birthday suit and a balaclava. The link that you need is in the description. That's Stag Stories Live, Sunday the 28th of April, 6 p.m. at Mansfield Museum. Tickets £4.50 per person. All proceeds go to supporting the excellent work done by the museum. And just to add as well that there's still tickets left for Nick's second shirt event, but it is they are starting to get towards the end of the allocated tickets now, so get in there. And some nice little bits of news for you at 10 past 8 on this Thursday night. Salford a 1-0 up against Stockport. So Cam, your second team are doing it for us.
That is an absolute each of a goal. Too much time in the midfield. He's 35 yards out. And he's just hammered it. Luke Garber absolutely hammered it towards goal. And it's just swerved away from Ben Hinchcliffe. No chance of saving that.
Well, let's hope that that can continue and that they can hold on to that one goal lead and do us a favour tonight. In terms of the league table as well, if Stockport do lose this evening and that scoreline remains the same, that will give Mansfield some breathing space there, of course. The current table as it stands with Stockport losing a goal to nil away at Salford sees Mansfield top on 69 points, having played 37 games with a plus 38 goal difference. Wrexham are in second, plus 21 goal difference, 37 played with 67 points, so 3 points behind. And then, of course, Stockport, as it stands, are on 66 points with a plus 29 goal difference. So that result, that scoreline would do us great at the minute.
What is the most important one on that entire table?
Us being top, obviously.
Well, yes, but Crewe being level on games, but 5 points behind. That is the most important one. Between now and the end of the season, like you said, cherry on the cake is winning the league. If we screw promotion totally and end up in the playoffs, all right, we could get promotion in the playoffs. But if we end up in the playoffs now, I think I might actually stop following football. Honestly, I don't think I could do another season of it.
Yeah, I don't think I could either. I think it would be an absolute travesty if we fell into there. Let's hope that we don't. Let's hope that we stay in there. But I think you're right. Do you know what? This has been happening for the last couple of weeks or so. You're putting things in the group chat. I'm finding myself that I have to agree with you. And it's against my DNA. I don't like it. Stop it.
That's the thing. You look at the season that we've had. We scored 73 goals. That's the most in the league. The next closest is County. They've scored 70. But we've conceded 35 goals in 37 games. And for a Mansfield side that poured goals last season, what a turnaround that is. And I'm not saying that Aidan Flint's the be-all and end-all and that he's the reason why. But just imagine if we'd got Aidan Flint, Alfie Kilgore, and Elliot Hewitt.
Rich pickings, isn't it?
It sounds perfect.
It certainly does.
Being negative, lads, enjoy the ride. It's not me, and it's not Alan. It's great.
Whoa. It's not me. No, it's not me.
Bloody well is.
No. But look, we've been doing this podcast for 7 seasons. Every time this year we get into this position, right? It's about... You're wrong. It's not just me. I'm channeling my own Nathan Edge. He's not here. So, and Clive's usually a little bit like that. He's not here tonight either. So it's not just me, right?
Can I just say, Craig, as well, I was listening. I wasn't listening to the match. Let me just say, I was in unforeseen circumstance. I wasn't able, but I did keep catching the group chat And the one thing that did strike me, I noticed Nathan Edge had put in, stop this, was his name Arbour, who scored the goal. He says, stop him playing in the second half, put Ollie Clark on him and kick him to death so he can't play. And look, lo and behold, 56 minutes, who puts the ball in the net?
Yeah, and what's more surprising about that is Nathan Edge wanting Ollie Clark to not be dropped off the edge of a cliff. So,
yeah, there was that.
Ollie Clark
he's changed his mind, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every time you mention this to Nathan, it's like, oh, it's
reverse psychology is what he calls it. Yeah.
They do miss his muscle and they do miss his aggression in midfield.
Yeah. It's not reverse psychology, Nathan. It's absolute. Anyway, moving on, let's talk club news. What, you know, someone mentioned earlier in the comments, we've got 9 games left to go. 4 of those are away. Those trips being Bradford, Wrexham, MK Dons and Barrow, all difficult places to go. But 5 remaining home games, Colchester, Accrington, Crawley, Forest Green and Gillingham. And the great news that's come out of the club this morning is this following press release. That the North Stand will be available for Stags fans in the last 5 home games. The statement reads as follows. Mansfield Town Football Club is pleased to confirm that blocks A and B of the North Stand at Wankhorst Stadium will be available to Stags fans for the remaining 5 home matches this season, starting with next Saturday's match against Colchester United, which kicks off at 12:30 p.m. Which means that precisely 577 more tickets will be made available to Stag supporters in the North Stand for the club's fixtures against the Ewes, Saturday the 23rd of March, Accrington Stanley on the 1st of April, Forest Green Rovers on Tuesday the 9th of April, Crawley Town on Saturday the 6th of April, and Gillingham on the 20th of April. The club is endeavouring to maximise the capacity of Wankhorst Stadium for Stags' supporters as part of its ambitions to continue to increase revenue and to maximise the support for Nigel and the players. Tickets for the above blocks are now available to purchase online for matches against Colchester, Accrington, Forest Green and Crawley via stagstickets.co.uk. Tickets in the North Stand will go off sale an hour before kick-off in all of the aforementioned fixtures. And alternatively, tickets can be brought by visiting the ticket office at Wankhorst Stadium or by telephone on 01623 482 482 option 1. And then obviously there's all about the logistics and stuff involved with that in terms of like entering through X turnstile and all of that sort of stuff. But Alan, that is huge, huge news because, you know, we look at those sides and I can't really see any of those 5 sides that we've got left at home anyway bringing a full allocation of supporters. So why not maximise that and get as many bums on seats as we can? Let's pack the Wankhorst Stadium and get it bouncing for the final 5.
That's it. I couldn't agree more. It's really good news, and especially for them that like sitting in the North Stand, because there were some, Swindon, I think, there was some good noise coming out of there, as well as the West Stand as normal and the Quarry Lane. So it was really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, and, you know, long may it continue.
Yeah, I still don't see it as a long-term option thing, but I think it's great for the final 5 home games, Cam, of maximizing that. You know, you look at the split between away and home, those 5 home games for me are all must win games. I think if we can win all those 5, that gets us the promotion we need and so desperately desire. And if we can do that by having as many supporters and as many people making as much noise as physically possible, what a way to do it.
It's frustrating that it's took them this long to think of this, but happily take it. I'm very unlikely to sit in there, but it's a fantastic idea. And I think there needs to be perhaps a little bit more thought that goes into it. I think with the space that we've got, we should definitely be future-proofing, because even in League One, there will be teams that will not travel well enough to warrant opening that entire stand. I can't imagine, even though they're down the road, I can't imagine Burton would. They never possibly have. You've obviously got massive clubs that will fill it 10 times over in your Portsmouths and your Derbies. and whatnot. But considering the, also the teams that we could be facing next season, we just need to hurry up and sort of like, firstly, get out of this division, and secondly, sort the bloody Bishop Street stand. Because I think more to the point of the reason that they've done this is also to test the waters to see whether it's worth it. I think this conversation about the Bishop Street's been going on as long as it's been condemned. Oh, we need to get it sorted. We need to get it sorted. Which is fine. But until this season, have we had a season where we've warranted having the extra capacity? Even the season we won the conference, we weren't selling out games. We were only pulling 4,500. And they were sort of like, trying to think, when we beat Macclesfield towards the end of that season. And even then, it was 5,000. It was a Tuesday night, granted. But the numbers just weren't there. So we've never had a reason to, whereas now we've got the reason to. But same again, until, other than the odd few games that we've not had to this season. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, we've been pushing the limits of game. And we've obviously big season ticket numbers, but we've had games this season where we've just not sold out games. And I get the frustration of some fans sort of like saying, oh, we're putting games all ticket, but not everybody knows that they can go to a game until last minute, which is fine. But then we've then got the problem, if we don't make it all ticket, we've then got X amount of tickets that can't be sold. And there's just a lot of logistical things that need to change. I think one of the things was, oh God, it was the Hurricane 2 game against Swindon. And having the sort of like the, it was something that was brought up at the Hurricane 2 against Swindon, was the fact that the toilet facilities in the North Stand were basically just porta cabins. They'd split the building in half, essentially, round the back, and you've got separate areas, but there was porta cabins as toilets, and there's just a lot of what people don't think of that needs to be done. There's extra stewarding, there's extra policing. You've actually got infrastructure changes that need to be made. You need to be put fencing up that can then be taken down, or putting a gate in, or there's just a lot to do. And to do that mid-season, firstly, credit to the club for actually bloody doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's very unlike Mansfield to be on their toes.
Well, it's not something which we'll leave that conversation there, but it's not something which was done on the spur of the moment. It takes a lot of planning to get people like SAG to even pass the notion of it. So it's about time that it happened. Talking of things that should happen, again, this will come across as negative. I don't intend it to be. I think it comes from a positive, and that is that we have got a demand for tickets wherever we go. Wrexham tickets sold out in minutes. People really struggle to get hold of them. I know people are moaning and going, well, season ticket holders and long-term fans couldn't get hold of a ticket. You could only buy a ticket if you were a season ticket holder. You have to assign a ticket to a season ticket holder. We've got 6,000-7,000 season ticket holders and only 1,000 whatever allocation for Wrexham. So do the maths. But the club have missed, in my opinion, at this minute, have missed a big, big trick for that Newport game. You cannot do this for every single game because of broadcast laws and broadcast rights. But the Wrexham game is on Sky, okay? So you can do this. Why are they not getting a big screen? And I mean, I'm not just talking the biggest telly that you can buy in Currys. I'm talking one of the proper event, PA event, big screens. You know, that you see like at the Christmas market and stuff at the town centre and all of that sort of stuff. Yes, you're waving at me.
I know some people that can do that.
I'm sure you do.
You're only saying this because we had this exact conversation in podcast.
But it needs saying in a public forum, because they mentioned in the article about the North Stand about the club wanting to maximise revenue and make money. If they got a big screen hired for the day, showed the Wrexham game, which is on Sky, therefore anybody, it can be done, it's not illegal to do it, doesn't break broadcast rights, etc., etc., etc. if the club got a big screen, showed the Wrexham game, whacked it in front of the Quarry Lane stand, you would sell that stand at a fiver a ticket or even less, at £2 a ticket, whatever you wanted to do, and you would make a killing on the bar, both Sandy's, in and around the ground, the food kiosks underneath. You'd make an absolute killing, just like you would on a match day. And you'd bring all fans together. You'd have an atmosphere going. It'd be great. You could get some of the players who aren't in the squad to be there and be part of it and make it a real fun family day out. You could get Alan doing his PA announcements when goals go in and treat it like a normal home game and watch it on the big screen from the Quarry Lane end. The club would make a killing. Alan, if you were the person signing that off, would you be doing it? If you were the person that could make that happen, would you make that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Yeah, more money for the club. Why not?
Which is exactly what you want. It just baffles me that either that idea has not come into their head or there is some logistical reason which we don't know about, which they've not communicated, which I think they should, because there are fans. I've seen it numerous times on social media. I've had this same conversation with so many Stags fans since the Wrexham game sold out. That would absolutely love it. But instead, what you're going to do is people are either going to watch it at home. All right, me and my dad are going to watch it at home. There's an open invitation for you guys if you're in and around Mansfield, as there always is. We'll have our own little mini atmosphere, but I'd much rather that be maximised across X amount and share that with Stags fans, because it's a big, big game as well. It's not just a run-of-the-mill game. It's a big, pivotal game in our season. It could be a monumental moment, and there'd be no better way for me, Cam, than sharing that with everyone at Wancourt Stadium, and a great commercial bit of business too.
Too right. Obviously, the logistical things of getting something in, it's not short notice. That's the thing.
Exactly. That's my point. We knew, and we even before the tickets sold out, we knew that they would sell out.
Yeah, maybe not quite as quick as that, because I mean, hint, hint. Anyone not going to Wrexham, we've still got tickets for Bradford. Go and buy tickets, and there's more of them. We got twice as many. Nearly twice as many Bradford tickets as we did Wrexham tickets. I'm sorry, Bradford is a much better day out. But I think the point is, people have done events at the club that aren't football events. I was involved in the Alan Shearer event put on by Superstar Speakers quite a few years ago at the club. And I was working for Playback Events. We do PA and hire and that sort of stuff. What they did for that was sold tickets in the Quarry Lane end and put a mobile trailer behind the goal. And this was before they'd properly sorted the drainage behind the goal and leveled everything and done that all properly. This power there, these 64 amp big red power sockets. So it's not like we even need to think of that. There's literally everything there. Literally, all you need to do is rock up, put the screen up, put some speakers out, done. And it's so easy. They don't even have to pay for any extra Sky Sports licenses, because the only difference between doing it on your back garden to doing it at the ground is the type of Sky license that you've got. Well, we already play Sky Sports and everything in the ground, so that's not so we've Correct. Got a commercial license. So why don't we even just open sat, even just put in 1861 or KBS open and putting it on the screen in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be the big screen out on the pitch. Just get the ground open. Obviously, Sandy's will be open, but Sandy's is always open on a Saturday. It'll be Good Friday, but Sandy's is open for the football on a Saturday, whether we're home or away.
And they will fill it and it will get rammed. And then the question there is, well, if that's rammed and filled, why is the other two not open? Why have they not done it behind the goal? I get what Martin's saying in the comments about it being too much organisation. It will never happen. The club's lost out on money, in his opinion, with no programmes and lack of merch. But again, I get the programme thing, but the lack of merch, that could have been sorted. There's so many things. I think I don't want it to come across as a moan. I don't want it to come across as major negative, but they miss out by... They've got this big, big opportunity this season to maximise profits, and they're never proactive. They're always reactive, and it's too late.
On the programme thing, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. What was Correct. The reason for not doing the programmes? Because not even enough people bought them.
Mm.
End of story.
Yeah.
And the last merch, I actually spoke to the staff in there. So Lynn, Jess, Amy, fantastic, brilliant, really good at the jobs, really helpful. We actually ordered more shirts and more off-field kit than we ever had with Surridge. But the demand was that high this season that they just couldn't keep up. And don't forget, this is a new kit supplier, so we don't know how many kits we're going to need. We don't know how much off-field stuff. And there's just a lot that they've done that people are slated for, and people moaning about the quality. I'm sorry, my 84-year-old grandma's washed my kits, my shirts, numerous times and not messed them up. What are you doing with them?
What are you trying to say about old people and washing? That's ageist.
They're washing for me. If I'm ever in Mansfield, she'll just wash my shirts. I don't necessarily have to ask her. She'll just stick me with shirts and wash. But people complain about absolutely everything. And I get Mansfield fans are fickle. Come on, come at me. Come fight me.
No, we are.
I'll be at Bradford tomorrow. Come fight me. Don't care.
Wait, you'll be there tomorrow? You'll be there at Bradford tomorrow? You might be a day early.
Oh, Friday, Saturday. You know what?
I mean,
work. Oh, playing Bradford tomorrow. That's why I'm thinking about it. But
right, okay.
We're just fickle, and we're just going to moan about everything, whether it's warranted or not. Joys of being a Man United fan.
Yeah, I know. That was just my little moan. I just felt that they could have done a little bit more. Like David S, I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname because he came up to me after the Swindon game. I had a chat with him in the car park. I always pronounce his surname wrong, so I'm not going to do it anymore. It's just David S from now. I remember the club putting a screen up in the 2004 Northampton in the playoff first leg. Absolutely remember it. Right, let's turn our attention to elsewhere. Now, Alan, we mentioned it earlier on. On Monday, you got to leave the bins behind, don the suit and tie, put a microphone in your hand and ask Mr. Clough what his favourite biscuit is, didn't you?
No, not quite what his favourite biscuit was.
Oh, come on, I'm disappointed in you.
I did ask him some questions and it went down very well. Very likeable guy. I answered them, you know, answered everything I asked. And it was a really good exercise. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
So
but I was poorly before I went. So I don't think it's anything to do with the walk-all food because I didn't have a deal anyway. And then when I got home, I was poorly again. But that's beside the point. But yes, thoroughly enjoyed it, Craig. Thank you.
What was it, the sponsors event?
Yes. Yeah, sponsors. All the sponsors were there, you know. And it was nice chatting to the players. It was really good. Informative, you know. Everybody was there. It was good. Probably enjoyed it.
If people at home are thinking, well, that's a bit unfair, Alan, I want to ask Nigel Clough some questions. Well, guess what, kids?
Yeah,
you can because
do.
On next Wednesday night, it is an evening with Nigel Clough. It will take place in the 1861 suite at One Course Stadium on Wednesday, the 20th of March. I'll be there. Alan will be there. I don't think Cam will be there, though. You're not going, are you?
I didn't get a ticket because I'm not an SSA member.
Okay, yeah, we'll leave that one there then. Should have point system. That's a complete sellout. Me and Alan will be there. I think Clive's going. I think Jim's going. I think Nick might be going as well. Basically everyone but Cam and Nathan. An evening with Nigel Clough will take place in the 1861 suite at One Course Stadium on Wednesday, 20th of March. Academy manager Richard Cooper will also be available to answer questions from supporters during a segment of the show. It'll start at 7 p.m. and it's in conjunction with the SSA as well. Doors will open from 6. Now, Cam, don't be too disheartened, though. Just because you can't be in the room does not mean that you cannot ask a question. You can ask a question if you want, and you can do it in not one, but two ways of doing it. You can either film yourself, so you can get your phone, turn it to portrait mode, set your video on. So what you can do is I'll do a little bit of a demonstration for you. Look, you get your phone, you go to the camera app, there you go, turn it on selfie mode, turn it round, put it on video, and you can go, "Hello, Nigel, my name's Cam. What's your favourite biscuit? Thank you." And then you can say, you can stop recording. Then you can send that to Zeke. That's Z-E-K-E at mansfieldtown.net. But if you're not confident about putting your face on camera, and let's face it, why would you be with a face like that? You can just email a written question as well. They are accepting written questions now as well, to the same email address. That's Zeke at mansfieldtown.net, Z-E-K-E at mansfieldtown.net if you want to ask a question like, what's your favourite crisp? What's your favourite biscuit? What's your favourite cake? What's your favourite drink? What's your favourite football formation? And who's your favourite podcaster? You can ask all of those questions by emailing them to Zeke at mansfieldtown.net. And all you've got to do is state your name, location, and to whom your question is directed to, either Nigel or Richard. So, Cam, what are you going to be typing? Dear Mr. Clough, my name is Cameron. I am 4 years old. My question to you is ... Go.
I mean, first thing, that's for you, Craig.
Right, it's a plug, yeah.
Yep, great plug. There you go.
Oh God. Right. This is my reaction in your break. No. Do that joke again. Do the joke again.
Yeah, Craig, this is for you. It's a great plug.
Actually, it's more like. And
I'll take it.
Anyway, carry on.
I think, obviously, the obvious one is, what is your favourite biscuit? Secondly, would be, I don't know whether this is a question that should be asked until the end of the season, but I'd probably say, out of all the teams in League Two, who do you feel was the hardest opposition?
Fair question.
So, I also feel like it's the sort of question you need to ask him off camera. Because managers never say the truth on camera.
Well, maybe. So there you go. I don't know why you're asking it on this podcast, though. You need to open an email up and email it to Zeke at mansfieldtown.net. Or, even better, get your phone out. Come on.
I'm too busy watching the football. I'm not turning it around this time or you'll shout at me again.
Come on. Get your phone up. Put your camera up on. Let's show the public how to do it. Yeah, there you go. And go.
No.
Oh, I bottled it. But at least you can. If see, that's the thing. People sometimes don't like to film themselves asking questions. It's not always the easiest thing to do. But you can now email your question and they'll create a nice little graphic, whack it on screen, all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, email your questions to Zeke at mansfieldtown.net. Is that enough for plug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying
to find more than one, but I couldn't find. I've only got the one great plug. So, speaking of great, what's happening later this month, Craig?
Next month.
This one sold out. Sorry, I was going to say Nick's shirt thing, but that's sold out. Anyway, other things. What's happening? Nick's YouTube channel, Mansfield Town Shirts.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not poised over that button. I'm poised over another button. Let's see what Alan Wolfson can segue into.
Oh, what was I supposed to be doing, Craig? Sorry, I do apologise.
Do you know what?
You've actually done it quite apt because it's time for the guessing game, which brings you zero fame. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? Right, it's Bradford away. I'm going to go first then for this one this week, because why not? I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I am going to go for a 3-0 win, DKD, to get man of the match. Cam, you're up next. Bradford away.
Oh, that's confident for you. 2-0 win. And Tom Nichols, get man of the match.
And Alan finishes off.
Bradford 1, Mansfield 3, man of the match, DKD.
Oh, he's just gone to try and make it rhyme. Of course he has. As always, you can play along with podcast predictions via the link in the description. I would bring you the latest league table, but I've not got it to hand. So we'll bring you it all up to date at the end of the month. Go on.
Salford 2, Stockport 0.
Whoa, go on, Salford. Keep it coming, Salford. We love it. Nobody would have guessed that, or would they, before the game? Who knows? But what will your guesses be for Bradford away? Alan's gone for 3-1 DKD. Cam's gone for 2-0 Tom Nichols. I've gone for a 3-0 win because the clean sheet is the most important thing for me with DKD as man of the match. Your guesses are required via the link in the description to play along with the guessing game that brings you absolutely zero fame. And remember, if you want to get involved with the Nigel Clough Night, email your questions to zeke@mansfieldtown.net. Tickets for Nick's event are in the description, as are Stag Stories Live. And I think that's just about all we've got time for tonight. Finally, though, very, very briefly, is Bradford a must-win game? Yes or no? Cam Felton?
Yes.
Alan Wilson?
No.
Oh, on the fence as always.
No,
I think
not
it
on
is.
The fence. I just don't think it's a must-win game. I think we will win, but it's not a must-win.
Well, there you go. You heard it there from the man of the moment. If you are going on Wednesday night, do come and say hello to me, Alan, Clive, and whoever else from Mansfield Matters is turning up. We'll all be sat together. We'll send a nice selfie to Cam because he couldn't get tickets because he's not an SSA member. But he can still video in his question and he can still email in his question. And that's enough of that. Let's play the end jingle. Thank you. Good night. Let's face it, I should be on a commission. Right, that is all we've got time for tonight on the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. With 9 games to go, the Stags have got their own destiny in their own hands. But please God, Nigel, please God, the rest of the squad, do not do a Mansfield. Do not buckle at this time. Stay strong, stay firm. Let's keep as many clean sheets as we can and get those points on board and finally get ourselves up into League One, starting with the trip to Bradford on Saturday. Get your predictions in now for that, by the way. The link that you need is in the description. You must do so no later than 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff on Saturday afternoon. And you can also do the game for the rest of the month as well. Whilst you're in the description, make sure you click on the link for Stag Stories Live. Get yourself a ticket to that with Ian Bowling at Mansfield Museum, 28th of April. And get a ticket to Nick's event as well. Check out his YouTube page. And whatever it is you do between now and next Wednesday, load up your emails. Type in the two bar, Zeke, that's Zeke, at mansfieldtown.net. Subject, question 4, Nigel/Richard Cooper. And send them a question simply like this. Dear Nigel, what's your favourite biscuit? This is the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Good night. See you next week with 3 more points on the board and hopefully one step closer to League One. Good night. Cam's also got about 19 plugs in his hand back now. I'm going to end the show and punch him. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.